KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The More Who Die, The Less We Care, Confronting Genocide and the Deadly Arithmetic of Compassion, on Thursday, May 9th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Oregon Jewish Museum and Center for Holocaust Education in Portland. The More Who Die, The Less We Care. Why does this occur? Professor Paul Slovic will discuss why people and governments ignore mass murder and genocide. His most recent work examines psychic numbing and the failure to respond to mass human tragedies. Again, that's The More Who Die, The Less We Care, on Thursday, May 9th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Oregon Jewish Museum and Center for Holocaust Education, 724 Northwest Davis Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from People's Food Co-op, a community-owned, values-driven natural foods cooperative open daily from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., featuring farm-direct organic produce from more than 30 local farms, bulk foods, and a weekly farmer's market every Wednesday year-round, located at Southeast Tibbetts Street and 21st Avenue in Portland for almost 50 years, online at peoples.coop.
You're listening to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 in Portland. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Survive. On this show, we go to Ground Zero, Portland, Oregon, and report news and stories that corporate media don't cover. We'll bring the uncut reality from the perspective of the unhoused community.
This is Lisa Fay with Right to Survive Radio. R2S Radio goes into the houseless community, making their voices heard, speaking to individuals on subjects that directly relate to their daily struggles.
Somebody help me.
That's work.
This is not healthy.
Oh, man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do, have the power to break the chains.
Doing what's right, you.
Mike.
Welcome to another episode of Right to Survive Radio here on KBOO 90.7 FM. I will be your host tonight, and I am Lisa Fay. I am here with three amazing, remarkable individuals, community organizers and activists in the St. John's area. I would like to go and do a round of introductions so we know who we're talking to tonight. But before I do, the topic is houselessness in the St. John's area, and the call-in number is 503-231-8187. We'll go to my left first because we're not a right-wing organization.
Hi, my name is TT.
My name is Chief.
And my name is Mimi.
Welcome. Thank you for coming tonight. We're talking about the houseless situation in St. John's and some of the issues around houselessness and lack of affordable housing and some of the tension that has grown in the St. John's area between the housed and unhoused community. Mamie, would you like to start off and tell us a little bit about what has changed in recent years?
Yeah, I'd like to say that I am a housed person, and I do as much work as I possibly can with my friends who are unhoused because there's a lot of need. And I've been doing this for a few years now, and one of the things that I've noticed over the last few years is that there are more and more people coming into St. John's who are unhoused, which means that the need for housing and the need for services becomes that much greater. And we aren't seeing any results or any services in St. John's.
And why do you think that is?
Partially because there's only a few of us who are... The way that I look at this is there are people in the neighborhoods, in all neighborhoods, who either believe in love and kindness and compassion, or they don't. And depending on their level of don't, it can veer all the way into hatred and acts of violence. I think that there are too few of us in St. John's who are of the heart. And had we, you know, if we had more people like the few of us who are there, we might see something different. So the push becomes that much harder for the few of us who are there to the city, to the county, to try to be seen. We first need to be seen in St. John's as a place that needs some help.
I agree. Titi, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm a single mother. Well, not single mother. Actually, I'm a future wife. I have two kids. I have a girl that is 9 years old, and she's amazing. And I have my son. His name is Messiah, and he's also amazing. And I just recently became unhoused, homeless. It's been like 3 years. And when I first came, moved to St. John's, because I grew up in Northeast Portland, but when I first came to St. John's, it was, I don't know, it just felt like home to me. I don't know, because it was away from the home that I, where I, you know, known, because the reason why I became homeless is because I was just getting out of a domestic violence situation with my kid's father for 9 years. And after 9 years, I just decided I couldn't do it anymore, you know? And I left behind my kids with him, and, you know, they're being raised and, you know, having an ordinary life and you going to school and, you know, loving life, you know, and not out here in the struggle with me, which I love that, you know? And so, but I couldn't take it. So I left my home and everything I knew and loved to, you know, and basically decided to start over. And so when I came to St. John's, you know, it was just like I had to get into, you know, being without, you know, not being in a house, you know. Mm-hmm. And I tried to do the whole different, go to family, and that didn't work out and stuff, you know. So I just said, you know, I just started to do, just started my journey, you know, and just to see where it took me. And I done came across some amazing, amazing people, you know. And, like, mm-hmm. when I first got, you know, to around all these people, you know, and I noticed that a lot of people, there are so many smart, intelligent people out there on the streets, you know, and mm-hmm. they have a voice, you know, and because of society, they were, you know, they felt like they didn't want to speak, you know, because they felt like they were being judged, or, you know, who's going to listen to us because we're homeless and, you know, addicts or drug users or whatever, and nobody's going to listen to us, you know, and then they're going to call the cops, and, you know, most of us has warrants, so we don't want to talk anyway, you know. And so me being the person that I am growing up, you know, I was very, you know, I'm a leader. I've always been a leader in my life, you know, so I was like, come, you're not going to shut me up. Like, you're going to have to, no, if I have something to say, I'm going to say it, you know. And I've been saying it ever since. And my husband, he's like, my, shut up. And I'm like, no. No, I'm not, you know. And that's what's got us this far, you know. It's me, us speaking out, you know, and us, you know, helping each other, you know, and mm-hmm. basically saying how we feel, you know, mm-hmm. and putting our voices out there so they can recognize, like, yeah, we're not, you know, this is our reality, this is our life, you know, mm-hmm. and either you gonna help us, you know, along our journey, or get out the way, you know, mm-hmm. because regardless, like, you know, we're not being silent anymore, you know, and we're people just like everybody else, you know. Matter of fact, right. I think we're better people, actually, because, you know, we have a heart of gold, you know, mm-hmm. we're at the place where we have nothing. Right. You know, we have nothing to lose, but every day we wake up with a smile on our face, with a pep in our step, mm-hmm. and we keep it pushing, you know. And to me, that's the most amazing thing ever, you know. Mm-hmm. Regardless of, you know, like I said, we just, like my papa say, like, we're just houseless, but this is home to us, you know.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah,
thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Chief, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, my name is Chief, and I've been houseless for 4 or 5 years, and it's been really difficult at times.
It's okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, can I share part of a story that you told me a long time ago about fishing?
Sure.
So Chief shared a story with me about what was his life before living outside. Mm-hmm. And he was a commercial fisherman of big fish and crabs and up in Alaska and North Seas, and tragedy happened, you know. And once tragedy strikes, it doesn't just affect one thing. It can travel down and affect the family.
Yeah, like a snowball effect.
Yeah, yeah. And one thing led to another, which I won't go into, but one thing led to another. And coming out of this life that was, you know, prosperous regarding work and everything else, mm-hmm. housing, and mm-hmm. It did. It snowballed. And so Chief is outside. And it's really tragic. I couldn't agree more with what you said regarding the intelligence and the kindness of everybody I meet in St. John's. And most of my advocacy work is in St. John's, although it's across town too. And I can say that in general about everyone I meet, no matter where, but my heart is with my friends in St. John's. And one of the reasons, Lisa, that I think we aren't receiving services in St. John's, back to your first question, is because it's so easy for the city and the county to continue to not look. Mm-hmm. Because once they look, mm-hmm. and they recognize you, not just see you, but recognize need, mm-hmm. if they then turn away, it makes it more difficult for them. So they've created like a blockade of we will not recognize your need. And not only won't they recognize our need in St. John's, but they used St. John's, the mayor used St. John's as a point to move a village that already has a home instead of working on re-permitting that village. So they found space originally in St. John's for a village to exist. And instead of talking with us and everybody in St. John's to say, let's create a village here for our people, they decided to move a village into our space and completely disregard all of our people. Not one word, not one piece of outreach was brought into our folks. So, you know, it's disgraceful and it's sad. And when you get to know everybody, it becomes that much more real. And their reality is my reality because we share what's going on. We share empathy and compassion.
I know of so many resilient souls that are houseless, and they are just the most amazing, beautiful people, most genuine, have the most awesome stories, and will... They may be houseless and may not have much, but they'll give you the shirt off their back,
mm-hmm.
or the extra blanket they use to keep warm, and or if they have a bottle of water, they'll say, "Hey, I'll split it. I'll give you half on a hot day."
It's called being humble, and most people forgot about that. You know,
exactly.
Just being in this life and, you know, day to day thing, it's like people forgot to be how to be humble. You know, and forgot where they came from and how they were raised, you know. And that's one thing I told myself, like, you know, being out here on the streets, you know, I'm always going to take my background, you know, how I was raised and, you know, and how when my grandparents taught me or my parents taught me, you know, how to live and be a lady and my morals and values, and I'm going to keep that with me, you know. And being out here and basically having, you know, everything given to me as a child and as an adult to pretty much having to do all by myself, it just makes me a stronger woman, you know, a stronger mother, you know.
I agree.
And I can face the world, you know, by my, you know, for myself, you know, and I can stand up on my own two feet, you know, and say, you know, I did this, you know, and I've learned so much, you know, being in house and stuff like that. The half, more than half of the stuff I've learned out here on the streets, I would never have known that in house, you know,
mm-hmm.
how to mm-hmm. you can use sanitizer for heat, you know, or how to, you know, just a lot of things you
or you could take plastic bags, cut them in strips,
yeah.
and make twine out of them
exactly.
to tie down a tarp.
Exactly. Or yeah. exactly. Or how you can just, you can use candle wax for heat, you know. It's just so many things you've learned. You learn how just from day-to-day struggle, you know. It's like our thing is everybody ain't no difference between, you know, us and everybody else, is that you're, like I said, you're two paychecks away from being with us, down there with us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
everybody's struggling somewhere or somehow, you know. And the thing is like, if you came out on the streets and be, you know, like be, you know, like where we're at, would you be able to survive? No. If you can come live in our shoes for a week and see how we live and how we, you know, maintain every day, you won't be able to do it.
Oh,
you
they
know?
Complain yeah, their yeah, back hurts.
Exactly. You won't
their
be able.
Head
yeah.
hurts, their neck sore.
We
their
can't
feet hurt.
exactly.
Oh, they have to buy a new pair of shoes now. Yeah.
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 And we don't.
I get it.
The thing is, we do have our complaints, you know, but. You know, we just, what they say, we leave it at the altar. You know,
in
the prayer,
like
you know,
that.
Like my granny say, you better keep it pushing, you know, because God ain't trying to hear no sorries, okay?
That's right.
So,
or excuses.
Exactly.
God don't want no excuses.
He sure mm-hmm. don't, you know, mm-hmm. and so we got to keep, you know, like I said, they said, as long as you got your 2 feet, you got your health, you know, you got to rise above all that, you know, and people depend on, you know, so many realistic things, you know. When you're out on the streets and stuff like that, that don't mean nothing, you know. The thing is, like, we've all, you know, learned that the reason why we ended up on the streets or, you know, in the position that we are because we all are the black sheep of our family, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Most of us are.
We're missing that lack of love or that lack of, you know, just understanding or just lack of family, just the wanting, you know, the just needing to be loved or have somebody to love you back, you know? And that's what everybody's on that search for, you know? And being out here, like, you find that, you know? Like, after leaving my kid's father for 9 years, I've never thought I've ever loved any man, you know, ever again in life, you know?
Or find community.
Exactly.
People would support you.
Exactly.
And believe
or
in you.
Mm-hmm. I have friends, you know?
Yeah.
First time in my life, I have really good friends, you know?
Yeah.
That will have my back more than my own family sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how it is, you know. We belonged, you know. We have a place in our community, and that's why I love it, you know.
So I'm going to stop you here with a place in community. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to a break, but before we do, I'm going to give the call-in number one more time. That's 503-231-8187. 231-8187.
Who is it? Hello there, I'm your new neighbor.
On your radio dial. Tonight we are talking with unhoused neighbors and advocates from the St. John's area, and we were just talking about the sense of community amongst the unhoused people, and there's a large group of unhoused people in St. John's that are up in arms because the city wants to transplant Right to Dream 2 from the Lloyd District into their neighborhood when St. John's itself has a growing houseless population. What is the feeling amongst the unhoused neighbors, and what can we do to support you and advocate for getting the unhoused residents of St. John's their own village?
What I've noticed, when we say the house and unhoused, what I've noticed, like, lately, there's a lot of young people that are becoming homeless or out on the streets with us, you know, and they're getting younger and younger. And, you know, it breaks my heart because as a mother, I could not see my child out there, you know, regardless of whatever their addiction was or whatever their situation was, you know, I cannot, you know, just turn my back on my child, regardless of anything, you know. And
so how do we solve this? How do we advocate to get a space that is yours? It's not a transplant of
right
another location.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, as far as we need more community, like more shelters, you know, more resources and stuff for people, you know, we can go and find out, you know, for jobs, for, you know, just to find housing, affordable housing, you know, and most of all, like, therapy, counseling, you know, because the reason why most of people are out on the streets is because something they went through traumatic in their life that brought them to that point, you know. So, you know, like I tell people, you can't grow until you figure out what caused you to break down in the first place, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, more, you know, places where we can go and talk, or, you know, therapy and counseling and stuff, like churches and stuff we can talk to, and we can basically, you know, get to the, you know, pick ourselves back up, and we can, you know, that give us, you know, more strive to, you know, basically get, you know, get back on our feet and get jobs and stuff and get back into housing. But the thing is, we have to have a place for, you know, us to lay our head out every night. Mm-hmm. You know, when we have to worry about if our stuff is going to be there when we come back from, you know, taking in cans, collecting how we make our money or whatever, and we come home, we come back, and all our stuff, everything we've owned is gone, you know. And then we have to move every week or every other day, and it's like, oh my God, you know, it's like, wow, you know.
So, if St. John's was able to get a piece of property and put a tiny house village or even a tented rest area, mm-hmm. what would that mean to
that would
folks
mean
in St. John's?
That would mean a lot for us, because
when you say folks in St. John's, do you mean
unhoused folks?
Okay,
that would mean a lot because we have a stable place to lay our head. You know, just like when you go home at night and, you know, you walk in your door and, you know, all your stuff is there and, you know, you feel comfortable when you're watching TV. That's how we want to feel, you know. And it might not be without the TV or whatever, but we want to feel like we have a safe place to come home and our stuff is there, you know, and our friends and family is there, you know, and we want to relax, you know, and I want to rub on my papa's feet or something, you know. But I'm saying, we just want that safe place, that safe housing, you know, and that motivates us to get up and do other things instead of just sitting here watching our stuff all day because we don't know somebody's going to come and take our stuff when we're gone, you know, or we have to, you know, make sure our friends come watch our stuff. And it's like that.
How much more productive you could be.
Exactly.
If you didn't have to watch your stuff.
Exactly. It makes us more. And the thing is, you know, if we have that safe place to come home to, you know, we wouldn't, and then we don't have to worry about it. And that helps our community also, you know, mm-hmm. because, you know, we don't have to, you know, they don't have to worry about us, you know, interrupting their lives or, you know, the, you know, whatever they're doing, you know, to help us. It's because it's like, you know, when you have people that basically, when you, every week we have to move and all that, we have to find different locations, we have different mm-hmm. spots, you know, and the neighbors just like, oh my God, we hear they come now, and here they come in. It's like, well, we don't want to, you know, interrupt you guys, your life, but shoot, we have to. I mean, what about us, you know? I mean, we don't have a house to go to, you know, so you got to put your, you know, think about how would you think we feel. We don't want to mm-hmm. interrupt your life, you know. We just want to be safe, and we want to just have some place to have our things and just be our family and be our community, you know. That's all we ask for.
It's looking right now like there not only isn't going to be land for us, but no one is even speaking to us about any of this. So if there's going to be anything that can be acquired, it's going to have to be taken.
Yeah.
And if that's what it comes to, then that's what we'll do. We will take a piece of land so that people can have, at least at a bare minimum, large enough tents that are on a platform, much like Village of Hope, where people could have been safe mm-hmm. had mm-hmm. the mayor not shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality, just like with Village of Hope and where Village of Hope sprung up, we have the same problems. And I've been working for a year and a half to 2 years with the city and the county to give us a piece of space so that we can do this or stay away when it happens, when we take a piece of land. Because at some point, somebody has to have the nerve, you know, and really not just one somebody, but many of us have to have the nerve and the heart to say, this is the right thing to do for unhoused people in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And since no one else in the government will come to our aid, we're going to have to do that ourselves. And so that's what we'll do if that's what we need to do.
And I noticed that there used to be vacant lots and vacant properties. I mean, you can find them anywhere in St. John's. But I've noticed that
they've been brought,
you know. People are actually buying these properties out of nowhere. And it's like, so you're doing this just despite us so we don't have a place to go?
Yes.
And it's like, how foul is that? Like, it's just like, how can you sleep at night knowing that somebody that has nothing, I mean, literally we have nothing to lose or gain, and you're going to take what little thing, you know, just for us to lay our head at night, you know, it's just, it's bad. You know, it's just like, how can you live your life like that? You know, like they say, how would you like for somebody to come in and take your house and your things and say they're trash or that you guys don't belong? You know, that's just back, like being African-American, you know? You know, she's like saying, I'm back to being slave in the slavery days. You saying, like, I don't belong. My kids don't belong because the color of our skin. You know, so you're basically saying we don't belong because we don't have a home. We don't have a house to go to at night. That's bad.
On top of that, and I'd like to bring Chief into this conversation, we have a backlash against our needle exchange talking about community. And if there's one set of... if there's one organization that is doing us a great service, it's the Needle Exchange. And Chief, do you want to talk about some of the things that have occurred at in St. John's that you are aware of?
Well, the Needle Exchange, they've been passing out these needles. That's not all they do. They do a lot of other stuff, healthcare products and stuff like that. There's a lot of... Of course, you know, there's a big heroin epidemic here in Portland and across the country, and they pass out this Narcan. Well, since we've been there, we've had 12 overdoses, one last night. And 10 of those people survived, and 2 of them did not. And it's because they survived. None of them would have survived if we didn't have that Narcan from the Needle Exchange. It's that simple. That's why they came there, and they said, that's just me. 10 lives right there. Just one person. So this happens a lot. And if we didn't have that Narcan, all those people would be gone. That simple.
I was there for 7 of them.
So one of the things that happens in community is people sort of, in any community, rise to, I don't use this word in a heavy way, but leadership positions. It just happens, you know, people who can handle things that maybe other people can't.
Of course.
Both TT and Chief are 2 of those people. So when people overdose, people know that they can call out to Chief to come. And so Chief not only is dealing with life on the street, you know, the brutality of the community and everything else that goes along with being unhoused, but the additional burden of trying to save people by himself. That is what he does. Yeah. And so to have our community right now in St. John's of just the most horrid human beings who are quote unquote neighbors wanting to get rid of PPOP, the needle exchange, is it makes my heart race in anger, because like Chief said, they not only give Narcan to help prevent overdoses, but they talk to women and men about birth control. They give out birth control. They have therapy. They have real therapy for people.
And they give out the little red dispenser The Sharps container.
Yeah.
Thank you. I was forgetting the word.
Keep our community and our kids safe from, you know, seeing things on the streets and stuff.
And in the parks where they play and by school. Yeah. So when you have a safe place to, if you're going to use or you're diabetic and you need the needles for your insulin, you have a safe way of disposing of them. And if that program leaves St. John's,
It's gonna be bad because
then it'll get worse because at the end of the day, have no place to put them.
Right, because at the end of the day, you're not gonna stop nobody from using drugs, you know, unless they want to, you know.
Yeah.
So just because you take one program out, it's not gonna stop them, you know. But the thing is, instead of trying to stop it, try to get to understand it, you know, and to be involved in it, you know. Then you understand why they do what they do. You know,
and let me just say for the record, the Needle Exchange is not promoting doing drugs in any way, shape, or form.
No.
They are a healthcare provider
to keep them safe, to keep people safe. You know, while they're in their addiction.
Give out drugs. They don't.
No, they don't do that at all. Actually,
people go around telling the stories about the Needle Exchange giving out heroin and
giving out drugs.
TT said something that was funny. On our way here, we were talking about that, and she said, if the Needle Exchange gave out drugs, why do people still need to buy drugs?
Exactly.
It's just not a thing.
It's impossible.
And why would they be selling cans and hustling to
get
it free.
Exactly. Right. And the one thing about it, our friend Sam is also in charge of it, and he's an amazing guy. Oh my God!
Sam is the most sweetest,
tallest person I've ever met in my life. He is my tree, okay. And when he says TT, how are you doing it? I'm like, I'm all right, okay. But just to see his smiling face every Saturday I just go up there to hang out, you know, and just to see everybody that's in the same, you know, everybody's having fun and we're having music and we're having dinner and stuff. And it's fun to be around, you know, and they have to worry about day-to-day stress in life, you know? So that's why I said there's more to people than just what people think, you know, and it's a community, it's a family-oriented situation, you know, and it's fun, you know, and Sam makes everybody's day a little bit better, his little ray of sunshine, you know, and that's what keeps us going throughout the week, you know. Just like you go to church on Sunday and you get your word from the Bible and stuff, we go to Peabody and Sam gives us pretty much that ray of light to make it through the week, you know, and we be excited for Saturday, you know. And he's just an amazing person, and God can send us nobody even better than him, and he has his little crew too. And the thing is, if you try to get rid of PBOP, it's like you're getting rid of a friend, you know?
It's also trying to get rid of something as positive as the Needle Exchange is completely antithetical to the neighbors who don't want houselessness around, because the Needle Exchange helps to have a place to put needles, to bring the Sharps containers back to. And are there needles out there elsewhere? Of course there are. But PPOP also tries to collect those needles and do cleanups. So for the neighbors who just are irate about the unhoused existing in their world, PPOP is a positive thing. What would also be positive is for people who are trying to get off heroin or whatever their addiction is, we should have, well, heroin in this instance, we need a methadone clinic in St. John's. So for the neighbors who are like, well, nobody ever wants to get clean because everybody's an addict, that's not true at all. But let me explain that if you are an addict trying to go for recovery from St. John's,
you don't have to travel 3 miles and a half.
You have to get on a bus early in the morning, and that means have money for the bus early in the morning. Get yourself up and get yourself downtown to a methadone clinic.
Which more than likely you have to pay for the dose every day.
And then get yourself back to where your home is, where your non-village, you know, where you're where you're staying, where your tent is. It couldn't possibly be more of a burden for somebody trying to get clean. And so again, to the neighbors who are haters or the not in my backyarders, We need services to allow people to live the lives they'd truly like to live. I have yet to meet somebody who says, I do not want, not only don't I want to just live inside, I want to be out here and be poor. Some people do
and
want
addicted.
And addicted. Mm-hmm. I love this life of poverty and addiction. You don't hear those things.
No, you don't.
You know?
No, you don't.
Because so at the end of the day,
that's not part of the American dream or anything that you thought would happen. Even if you were a camper as a child, your family took you camping. It was great to go out in the woods for a week or two, but after that, you were tired. You were ready to go back to your comfy bed and take a real shower and
right,
and because have clean clothes.
Right, but at the end of the day, like regardless, there is somebody's child out on the streets or somebody's loved one out on there.
And wife, if it wasn't mother,
right, if it wasn't
sibling.
For right, and how would you feel if you got a call saying that your child overdosed? And, you know, is now gone, or your mother or your sister, you know, because they didn't have the proper tools to make to keep them alive or to help them. You know, you don't want to get that call. You know, we don't want to see that on our daily day struggle either. But we have to. There was one girl that did not make it a couple weeks ago. You know, her name was Hope. You know, she's a mother of nine, you know. And we tried, me and Chief tried to, you know, bring her back, but we couldn't, you know. And that weighs on our heart. But there, some we did bring back with the Narcan, you know. And if we didn't have that, or we didn't have the right resources to have that, because you can't go get it at the grocery store. You got
to,
you know.
You
or you can't just go to the doctor's office and just pick it up, you know. So for people up to, you know, to have that on hand for us, you know, every Saturday, you know, and as many as we need, you know, that's a blessing, because we can keep your loved ones alive, you know, and we can, you know, help them while they're in their addiction, you know, and you getting out there and finding out, you know, where they at and how to help too, that works too.
We're going to go to a break, and before we do, let me give the call-in number again in case there's people out there listening tonight. If you live in St. John's, we'd really like to hear from you. The number is 503-231-8187. We're talking with the housed and unhoused residents at the St. John's area. Many of the people in your community are your neighbors, whether they're housed or unhoused. And there's a large group of our listeners who live in the St. John's area that would like to see houseless people leave their neighborhood. They have the not in my backyard mentality. There's a lot of friction and growing resentment. Like the Montevilla neighborhood, there's growing concerns about vigilante groups. And I'm sorry for all the folks out there eating dinner right now that we're having such a heavy conversation. But this is a conversation that needs to be had. Could you maybe talk a little bit about the vigilante groups that are taking over, tormenting the houseless population, and maybe touch base on a community meeting that took place about a month ago in regards to the growing population?
Sure. The vigilante groups have been really attacking unhoused communities for pretty hard for the last year. And Montevilla has had their fair share of tragedy with these vigilantes coming in and beating people up with bats and terrorizing people. One of the things that we've had happen in St. John's is there are quite a few people who drive by and will shoot off guns to scare people, and in rapid succession, the bullets, and other times have come down the bike path and have done it there. So as my concern right now is that there's such hatred growing. There's at least 250 people who are on Nextdoor, on the app Nextdoor, that are creating a hate group to shut down all villages, to change laws, to attempt to change laws so that in the future no villages can exist and all unhoused people should do what? You know, so like just disappear,
disappear, rounded up and put in like a refugee camp. So with armed guards.
Exactly.
The reason why they feel that way is because they feel like when we come, if we move in Nextdoor and Nextdoor in their community, that it's going to bring the whole crime. You know, up.
And property,
you know,
values
that people
down.
Are gonna, you mm-hmm. know, stealing cars or breaking people's housing and all that. And it's just like my friends and family, you know, St. John's, we're not like that. You know, we don't do that. You know, like I said, we will go pick up a can. We go canning to make you know money to, you know, take care of ourselves. You know,
and
we
yet,
don't have to take from you and your family to survive out here. You know, and the thing is, you can't put that burden on everybody because we're not all like that. You know, and you know we shouldn't have to prove anything to anybody. You know, because when you guys come out and take, you know, you guys send these rapid response people out to come take our stuff every other week. You know. We don't, you know, all we got to do is sit back and watch, you know? So how dare you say anything about when somebody comes and take your stuff? And I'm saying that that's what we're going to do, but put yourself in our shoes, you know?
Rapid Response is a vigilante group.
Yeah.
It gets paid.
Yeah.
But it's a sanctioned vigilante group.
Right.
And the way that Rapid Response goes out to wherever they go, to whatever area to sweep or clean, I think they call it cleaning.
Harass.
Which is straight from, you know, Hitler's book.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to clean society of all the Jews. You know, in this case, it's the unhoused. Then the city sanctions them by giving them huge paychecks
mm-hmm.
and sending out these vigilantes to terrorize any person who is unhoused, whether they're in a group of people or by themselves.
And it says they have up to 10 days to harass us.
And they don't provide... You know,
whenever they feel like it.
They don't provide anywhere for folks to go, which is something... It's another reason that we are determined to put a village up in St. John's. There have been at least two and maybe three now federal judges who have ruled against cities who were conducting sweeps
mm-hmm.
because if the city has nowhere to send people for housing or shelter,
mm-hmm.
the federal judges have determined that that is inhumane. So that might not be the word that was used in it, but basically that's what it is. They're not allowed to do that. Well, we're going to create a village. And if we need to take it to that place where we create another lawsuit to prove to this city that we are determined to have compassion and show compassion and provide acts of compassion for everybody, then, you know, then that's what will occur. Lisa, is it okay for me to let folks know if they want to help out to contribute to our village, how to do that?
Absolutely.
Our village is called Jason Barnes, and Jason was a friend, an unhoused person, and a friend of all of ours,
mm-hmm.
Who got killed. It's hard to talk about. He got killed last summer while he was out the night before garbage collection collecting cans, and he was killed out on the streets by a drunk driver. He wouldn't have been out there had he been housed. Jason had come to me last year, a full year before that, in the Safeway parking lot, crying. He had had enough. And he put his arms around me and he said, "Can you just get us a village? I can't do this. This is going to kill me. Living out here is going to kill me." And I told him that I would do everything I could to make that happen. And the most unfortunate thing about this is that Jason died and didn't get his day of safety. So
like
that,
so many people.
Yeah, that, right. And that, if not for any other reason, and TT and Chief are more reasons for me, and everybody I know and love who are unhoused in St. John's are more reasons for me to keep moving in this effort with them to create a village, is for Jason Barnes. And if anybody listening wants to contribute money to the village, to getting that going, the money would be going directly to the paying for the toilets that we would have and paying for the trash collection that we would have. We would have big trash bins. You can do that through Lisa Lake's nonprofit. It's called Advocacy 5, and that's ADVOCACYFIVE. @gmail.com. And if you want to donate, it's a charitable donation. You would mark on there Jason Barnes. It's B-A-R-N-E-S. And Lisa will know that that money goes directly into allocation for this village.
Can you give the email address again?
Yeah, it's at, oh, I'm sorry, it's PayPal. It's a PayPal account. And the PayPal account is advocacy5, you would spell out 5, @gmail.com. And you would say that this is for Jason Barnes Village.
Thank you. Welcome back to Right to Survive Radio here on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And tonight we are talking about the houseless situation and how we can help in the St. John's area. And I would like to give the mic to Chief because we've heard so little from him tonight. And I would like to have Chief express his feelings or concerns or whatever you'd like to share with us.
Well, I would like to invite anybody from the St. John's area to go. They go by us every day and see us, and we're passing each other by. We're not even saying hello to each other. I try to make an attempt to be cordial with them, but if they would like to speak to us, they're more than welcome to come down there and talk to us at any time. Be more than happy to speak to them, and just, you can ask me any question you want. We'd be glad to answer them. You know, we don't want to have this antagonistic relationship with people. We do have a lot of people that don't like it. You know, that they are shooting guns off. They shot one of our girls in the back with a pellet gun the other night as she was going through this fenced area, and these kind of things are not acceptable to us. And I hope they don't think we're not going to defend ourselves, because that's not going to work. So it'd be a, we're more than happy to speak with anybody. If they'd like to come down there, we'd like to have you over to for lunch or something, just come down and talk to us.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. I was speaking with the group a little bit before we started the show, and I was hearing some wonderful, awesome outreach that has been going on. Churches from Clackamas have been driving all the way up to St. John's to break bread with folks. People in the neighborhoods are not worrying about what their NIMBY neighbors say, and they're coming out and cooking and sitting down and sharing the meals with houseless people. They're giving blankets and helping replenish supplies after rapid response or CCC comes out and sweeps them. what groups are active in the St. John's area? And if people want to get involved, how, who, what are their names? What's the names of the groups that you'd recommend, you know, people checking out a meeting or coming to hear them speak?
Well, let's see. I haven't seen a lot of folks coming out. So when I heard tonight that there are churches coming from different areas, I was happy to hear that. I do want to say that those of us across the board, across Portland, who are advocates in either going out to feed people or clothe them, we have a network. And in St. John's, our network is very, very small. I'm one of the people who goes out in the middle of winter trying to make sure that everybody has tents, blankets, shirts, pants, sweaters, you know, the whole thing.
Hand warmers.
And
yes.
Everything, mm-hmm. Yeah. But I get them from somewhere. I get them from Abby Schwab. And Abby is part of Free Hot Soup. And Free Hot Soup is another organization that feeds people who are unhoused across Portland and has now been stepping up to help at least as much as possible to take care of folks in St. John's. And we need more. We need more of people, especially in the wintertime, to go out and know people, know where people are, so that they can also bring people mm-hmm. blankets. Mm-hmm. One of the things that housed people don't understand is if you give a blanket or a sleeping bag and it gets wet, because we live in the Pacific Northwest, even though it's freezing out but it's not snowing, that blanket is no longer useful unless somebody can either get it to the laundromat or bring another one. Mm-hmm. So there's a constant, absolutely almost 24/7 movement of trying to locate things that our unhoused friends need, you know, and we do not have enough outreach in St. John's.
If people have items that they can donate, but they may not be able to get them washed, do you have ways to wash them for redistributing?
Yeah, we need more of us, but we can load those up and take those over. But we also need money donations to do that. You know, I have a different job in my life. It's not this. So we need some funds. Mm-hmm. You know, like our city's sitting on millions of dollars for supposedly homelessness. And I'm like, where is that money? Yeah, are you seeing it, TT? Mm-mm. Are you seeing it, Chief? So, you know, where is this money? And all we're asking for is, like, some gas money would be cool. But, hey, gift cards, like food cards for everybody who is outside in St. John's mm-hmm. would be mm-hmm. awesome. Mm-hmm. Can we please get those so every week folks can have some money?
If you don't feel comfortable with giving us money, yeah. You know, there's gift cards, you know, to certain stores
right.
that do have stuff that we need, you know,
right.
like
propane
or,
exactly.
Food
yeah.
or, you know, clothing, you know, things that we need on our day-to-day life, you know, just like y'all need y'all things, we need stuff too, you know.
And food.
Yeah,
or,
food.
Or prepaid reloadable like Visa cards.
Exactly.
Right.
You know,
so you can pay your phone bill for the month.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'll put out there is if anybody would like to help us out in St. John's, you can do it in a number of ways. You can get in touch with me. I'm on Facebook. You can friend me. My last name's German. It's spelled like German, Mimi German. And, you know, let me know if you're coming onto my page that you want to help, because if I don't know who you are and you don't tell me that, I'm not going to let you in. So
that's why Messenger's important.
Yeah. So, but I really, we need outreach. We need more people who are kind-hearted, and whether you can give a dollar, $5, or just food or whatever your thing is, it's all good.
And the community, they're not, we also want to say thank you to the ones that do come out and help us, you know, every week. You know, we have a couple of, we have a church, a pastor and his wife that comes out on Friday. And then we have Mission Gospel that comes out on Thursday to bring us dinner and stuff. And people throughout the week that come out and help us, we want to say thank you to you guys, because you guys, you know, you guys coming, taking time out of your day-to-day lives to come help us and support us is amazing. You know, it makes us feel good. It makes us feel, you know, like we do belong, or we, you know, we are somebody, you know, that you guys do hear us. And, you know, and we're so grateful, and we do appreciate you guys. And, you know, I didn't want to go this time without acknowledging you guys that, you know, you guys are amazing, you know, and we do appreciate what you guys do for us, you know, and we're just saying we just need more. But,
right.
You know, we're grateful for you guys for taking the time for, you know, time you do give out of your day to come help us.
And for those people who are listening to the show who haven't really spoken out much in for unhoused people, talk to your friends. You know, if you understand what we're talking about and you haven't been vocal about the issues of, you know, houselessness, homelessness, then please speak up, because the haters are speaking up. And we need to silence that with acts of love and kindness. And the best way to do that is to act compassionately by being an activist. Talk to people about why this is important to understand, that not everybody is everything. You know, these stereotypes kill people. And the stereotypes gear up the city to send out, again, the vigilante groups like Rapid Response to sweep people up. That, you know, it will always remind me of Nazi tactics. And that's how bad it is.
Well, I really appreciate you making a shout out, asking people to start the conversation and challenge their friends and neighbors and coworkers. And not only challenge them to have a meaningful discussion about houselessness, not a hating, bashing conversation, but then get to the point where it's like, okay, now that we're having this conversation, what are you going to do to step up to change the situation? Mm-hmm. Are you going to get involved? Are you going to go meet your houseless neighbors? Are you going to offer some type of opportunities for housing or jobs or do a load of laundry for somebody, bring someone a meal, you know, a restaurant that has leftovers at the end of the night that's going to go in a trash can, you know, agree to pick up their leftovers and redistribute them. And even more importantly, write your city and county officials, badger them with emails and phone calls that we need to do more. We need villages where people can feel safe. We need not one, or one transplanted from another community. We need multiple places of safety for people to go. Until we can solve our housing crisis, and until the housing bubble breaks and everybody's thinking, oh my God, I paid $500,000 for my house and it's only worth $50,000 now, and I have balloon payments, you're going to be in the same boat if you can't hang on, because that mortgage payment's still going to be due. So have these conversations, talk to one another, start using your compassion and empathy, and realizing the people on the street are just as much your neighbor that are thriving and surviving as you are behind your closed doors, closed windows. Come out.
And
come
if
out
you guys want to like see us, or you know, meet us, or you know, even to see how we live, you know, we live on the bike trail in St. John's, right next to the Fred Meyers on Ida, and we're between Pheasant and Columbia, and we're there. You know, that's where right now that's where we have our camp at, you know, I say our tribe, you know, and that's where we're at, you know, every day, you know, till they, you know, move us again, you know. But right now, that's where our community is, and that's where our home is, and that's where our family, you know, our family is right now. And you guys can come out and meet us, and you guys can come out here and see how we live, you know. And it might change your mind, you know, if mm-hmm. you come see and spend a day mm-hmm. or a couple hours with us to see how we live and how we, you know, our day-to-day struggle. And it might change your mind, you know. And we welcome you guys to come, you know, because we have nothing to hide. You know?
A lot of people that live in tents keep their tents as clean or cleaner than they kept their homes when they had four brick
right
or cement mm-hmm. walls to mm-hmm. live in. We have just over a minute left. Any final words?
Well, I'd like to thank the people of St. John's, the ones that do help us, and all the other people, you know, they say thank you very much for your help. KBOO Radio,
Mimi,
everybody else that's been helping us, and thank you very much.
I'd like to say that for those of you who don't know what you could do, especially when money's an issue, just say hello to somebody who's living on the street. Just start with that. Just a simple hello. You don't need to sit down and have coffee. Just hello. Thank you.
And I want to say hi to all. Anything.
And I want to say hi to all our friends on the St. John's Bike Trail. You know, we're out here.
I'm happy they were tuning in tonight. Community radio at its best. All right, we're going to have a song that will wrap us up. And one more thing, Right to Survive will be meeting tomorrow from 5 to 7 p.m. at Join, 1435 Northeast 81st Avenue.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Up next, Hard Knock Radio.
Check this out. Hard Knock Radio coming at you, bringing the noise. This is Chuck D, Public Enemy number one, news, views, and hip-hop.
This is Sister Soulja on Hard Knock Radio. Listen closely.
¿Qué pasa, raza? This is Deuce Eclipse, the Oi Joaquin, your parte chino. Check it out. Listening to Hard Knock Radio.
Hey, this is Patrice Rushen, and whenever I'm